a real disciple of Christ. And he said, Jim, do you know this song? I said, no. He said, let me teach it to you. And when he sang it so hard from his heart that his face got clear red. I'll never forget it. Just pouring into it with all his might because he had experienced the love of Christ and the hope that Christ gives. The love of Jesus to me is greater than anything I've ever known. And that's true for my life. I have never experienced anything so great as the love of Jesus. I, at one point in my life, felt so hopeless. And I felt like life was so hard. You ever feel that way? I hope when we're finished today that you, the hope that is within you would abound, would overflow as you think about Jesus and about God's gift to us, the Messiah. But the love of Jesus to me is greater than anything else I've ever known. No, the love of Jesus to me is greater than anything else I've ever known. It reaches deeper than any sin stain. It reaches higher than heaven's throne. The love of God is more to me than all the world could ever be. It reaches down from the throne of glory and sets the vilest sinner free. Let's say it together, the second verse. It brought the Savior from heaven's glory to give his life for a world of sin. Though God of heaven, he condescended to prove to you that he is your friend. And now the last. It giveth comfort to those in sorrow. It bringeth peace to a troubled soul. The love of Jesus goes in the byways to seek the sin sick and make them whole. The love of God is more to me than all the world could ever be. It reaches down from the throne of glory and sets the vilest sinner free. Hallelujah. Have you experienced that in your life? I'm sure you have. Before we get into the message, we have just a few announcements. The one is Friday night service. Don't forget it. And I might be calling some of you to help practice a song or two, so be prepared and ready. I can't think of anything else. There's no Wednesday night service. Just be a service Friday night. And then Sunday, Christmas Day, the service will be canceled. So, does anyone else have an announcement to make? Yes, Tim. Hey, Maynard, could I have a glass of water up here? That'd be great.
I figured I would give a little bit of an update on Keith and Delphine. I had chatted with them about a week ago or so and didn't give the update last Sunday, but I figured I'd do it this Sunday. They are currently down in on the base there in Haiti and are traveling back and forth between the Dominican Republic and Haiti. and getting most of their supplies out of the Dominican, not going into Port-au-Prince at all. And that's already been for most of the year that they've been doing that. They said that cholera, I guess, is making its rounds down there in a lot of the villages and cities there. So they have obviously reopened the cholera center there at the IFM base there, and then they are also trying to as much as possible have the staff there be able to as needed either stay on the premises or the ones that can travel, but I guess it's very challenging for them right now.
Make an exchange.
Even a very short distance to travel. So you can keep them in your prayers. It sounds like things are going as well as can be expected under the circumstances, but yeah, you can keep them in your prayers that they would be able to continue to reach out to the people around them there, and that God would give them much grace and mercy.
I think of them a lot because of the unrest and the violence with the gangs, and God's mercy and protection over them. Yes.
To say that we are thankful very much to our Lord that our parents got the visa, so they are going to come and visit, and we are very happy about that.
Awesome.
So, yeah, we are expecting them to come in a month or two, and they'll be here for a while. So, yeah, we're very happy.
So wonderful. Thank you, Vadim. Such good news. All right. Anyone else? Have you ever met anyone hopeless? At least they tell you that they don't want to live, they want to die. You know, there's a story in the Bible that comes to mind of a great man of God. It's found in 1 Kings, I think chapter 9. He had just won a great victory. And then the queen threatened to kill him, take his life. And you know that man of God who was on a mountaintop of victory ran. The Bible says he went for his life. He ran as hard as he could, and he found a scrubby little tree, and he climbed underneath it because he felt like he wanted to hide. And then he said, "Lord, I want to die." Why? He just won a great victory. But often we, as God's people, come to that point of feeling so hopeless. There's things that come into our lives. And it's so interesting how the God of hope began to minister and fill this hopeless man. I'm not going to tell the whole story. It would take a long time. But he started ministering to this hopeless man hope. He first of all started out with food, baked him a little cake. Said, "Get up, eat." So he got up and ate. Then he laid back down. And then God said, "Get up and go." And he went, only because God was working in his heart and life and beginning to give him hope. And so as he went, he came to a cave. And then God began speaking to him again. It's interesting, that food that God fed him, the Bible says that he went 40 days and 40 nights without anything to eat. That's the kind of food I would love. I wouldn't have to eat again for a long time. That's how much strength and hope that it gave this hopeless man. And then in the cave, God got his attention with a great wind, and he said, and in that wind he said in a voice, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" And then he had thunder and rain, and again he said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah each time said, Lord, I have been zealous for you. I've basically given my life for you, and I'm facing this. And then God went on to tell him that there are so many men of God with him that stand with him that have not given up and bowed to Baal to encourage his heart. Why are you hopeless? You got all these other people out here that are serving me and they're not going with the flow. Sometimes we feel very discouraged when everybody seems to just give up and go their own way. And we think, am I the only one that's going to be standing in the end? And God does talk about that. He said, in the end times, I'm going to shorten the days just in case there'll be nobody left. So this thing of feeling hopeless and wanting to give up is real often in our lives. But God ministered to Elijah, and then Elijah rose up in strength and hope and went on to minister hope to many others. We're not going to go much deeper into the story. There's a lot that could be said and a lot more that God told Elijah. I'm only using it as an illustration how much God wants us to abound in hope during this Advent season, that it would be, we would be so full and overflowing, we would be brimmed with it, and it would splash out. You know, I was thinking this week of an older widow many, many, many years ago who gave me words of hope. We were going through a terrible church fight, terrible struggle. They're never fun. They're never good. And they always end out so bad a lot of times. But her words she gave me before she died, because she was an older woman, and she was a woman full of much wisdom. Probably many of you wouldn't know her. But she was one that was attending the church where I was pastor. And she gave me these beautiful words to encourage my heart. And I ended up preaching at her funeral and using this as my text. It's found in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Just a beautiful prayer of encouragement. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And you don't know what those words did to me, because I was feeling pretty discouraged and low. And she poured that beautiful message into my heart. And then not long after that, she died. And those words still ring in my mind whenever I start feeling discouraged and maybe tired. And not to the point of giving up, but just backing away. And not a whole lot coming out of my life of hope. God wants us all to be messengers of hope, especially during this season, that we would be so abounding in hope. There are so many people during this season that often become depressed. We don't have to live that way. They have no family, and often they feel lonely. That's a wonderful time for us to pour out hope if it's abounding within us. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. And I pray to God that when I'm finished, that you will be so full of hope and you will press toward that, that you will be conscious of that as you walk through this season. I was thinking so much of the Advent candles. And the first one was hope. The second one was peace, and the third one was joy, and now the last one is love, and they all go together so well, and they give us so much to look forward to as we come to Christmas. But you know, have you ever been in a situation where, and I remember this, and I don't say any of this for any attention or glory to myself. And I didn't do much, but I gave hope because of God's hope within me. I was in a customer's house, and when I walked in his house, he was crying. He was an older man, and he was just sitting there weeping. And I walked up to him. I said, "Can I help you with anything?" And he said, "I'm dying of cancer." And he was just weeping. He felt hopeless. And I just felt prompted of God. I didn't know if he was a believer or what he... I didn't know him. I wrapped my arms around him because the Holy Spirit prompted me, and I began praying. And I spent time praying and praying that God would revive his heart and give him hope and that he'd find Christ as his hope. And that was all I did. I didn't do much. And I just said, I'll keep praying for him, for his healing. A number of months later, he called me to come and do some more service work. And I was surprised that he was alive. I shouldn't have been. But he said, "I'm healed." He said, "Praise the Lord." And he was totally a different person. He was full of hope because of God's healing. And they found out he was a Christian. Romans 15, that verse I read to you, verse 13, is a beautiful verse of hope. And let's just go back to verse 7. Let's turn to that passage. And let's just go back to verse 7 before we get into verse 13. Let's just go through the different verses. It even talks about the root of Jesse, which is connected with this verse, the root of Jesse. "Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God." Let's just take a look at that. We're talking about love this morning as the last Advent candle. And it's so beautiful, this scripture talking about love. You can just put it in our words. "Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." Christ's coming is a welcome to all of us. He wants to be our Messiah, our Redeemer. And just as he is welcoming us this morning, as I quoted to you John 3:16, longing for us to give our lives to him and to allow him to change us because of his great love for us, we should be doing that to others. We should be welcoming them in. And let's just go to verse 8, and I'm going to read this again in different words, and then I'm going to continue with the theme for a moment of love and then go into hope. In verse 8 it says, "For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised," which means Jews, "to show truthfulness in order to confirm his promises given to the patriarchs." And that was a powerful message that he gave because it spoke to us as Gentiles that God is a one of truthfulness and that we should be grateful of his mercy toward us and allowing us to come in to be engrafted in. Verse 9, "And in order that the Gentiles might glorify God in his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and to sing to your name." In verse 10, "And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." Verse 11, "And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him." And verse 12, "And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him will they hope." His love gives us so much hope. Verse 13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound." You may abound in hope. And that's the title of my message, Abounding in Hope. God longs for us to abound in his hope. Why? Because it gives a message to others of his hope. and that others can come to Christ because of the hope within us. So our focus today is on Romans. It's going to be on Romans 15, 9 through 13. So that very first verse that I'm looking at here in this section in Romans, verse 7, says, "Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. The strong and the weak, the Jew and the Gentile, welcome each other. Be hospitable, be large-hearted. Open your arms and draw people in to salvation and to the gospel." And as they come to this church at River of Life, that we would have big arms and draw them in fellowship with God. That's, and for His glory. It's not for anything of our own. Be hospitable, be large-hearted, open your arms and draw people in, and don't do it for an end in itself or for any attention to yourself, but for the glory of God. He goes on to say, do it for the glory of God. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Do it in a way that makes God look good, as He is. God is already good, but do it in a way that makes Him look good, not you. Glory, that's what it's talking about, doing it for the glory of God. Loving someone means treating them in a way that is good for them. And it is always good for someone to make much of God. Think about that as you reach out to others, making God look good and making much of God, because it's for His glory that we give hope. Not for any of our own. So when we welcome someone for the glory of God, we are hoping and praying that our welcoming will waken in them and in us more love for God, and therefore deeper friendship with each other. Loving people for the glory of God is the only way to love people. Because if we don't aim to help people see and savor the glory of God, do we really love them? Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Verses 8 and 9 are just beautiful verses to motivate us to love and welcome and serve, even as Christ became servant to the Jews, so that they would glorify His truthfulness, and in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs in verse 9, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. Praise God for His mercy. Because of His mercy, Jesus came. Because of His love, Jesus came, that we, that's us, the Gentiles, would have hope. There wasn't much available until Jesus came for the Gentiles. They weren't God's people. And God opened the door and walked throughout a welcome mat for the Gentiles by sending Jesus, the gift of love. So be amazed, you Jews and Gentiles. Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel, has not come to be served, as it says in His word in Romans, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for both Jews and Gentiles. There's one salvation, one new covenant, one people of God from Jews and Gentiles. Brings us together, Jesus does. And we need to extend welcoming arms to one another and to those that don't know Jesus. God accomplished this salvation by serving, and He did it for the glory of God, and we need to do the same. When we serve with love in our hearts, we need to give God the glory for anything that pours out of our lives. There's two ways that we can do it for the glory of God. One is that Christ set our example of how we should serve each other, and we love to be like the one we admire, right? He did it, and he's calling us to do it for his glory. And number two, and so we are inspired to serve each other as he did. And the other way that he served us is that he died for us. He died in our place so that the burden of sin would be lifted and we would have hope. It takes hope that it takes to be a welcoming kind of person. Praise God. Because of that sin lifted from our lives, we can be that welcoming kind of person that he is calling us to be. I was just thinking of how God often brings people into our lives and waiting for us to give an answer of the hope that is within us. Now what Paul in verses 9 through 13 is striving to do in this passage to each one of us, he's striving and hoping. That he will help us to abound in hope. That's his goal. He longs for us to abound in hope. And that's his aim, why he's pouring out this his heart about now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I love how he goes on to say such encouraging words of hope to us in verses 9 through 12. As you look down over those verses, at verse 9, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people, with the Jews. You Gentiles, lift your voices as one with the Jews and with anyone. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. And then he goes on to say that beautiful word, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. He's encouraging us with so much this morning, so much to give us much hope, to glorify him for his mercies. We Gentiles, may we do that. May we think much of that, what the Messiah coming means for us. It means that now we can be saved. We can embrace the promises that he gave to God's people as our own because we have been engrafted in from the root of Jesse. Rejoice with the Jews, his people. He says again in verse 11, praise the Lord, ye Gentiles. Laud him, all you people. And then I love how he refers to Isaiah, that there shall be a root out of Jesse that will rise and rule over the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Jesus is the Messiah that came, and by his coming was opening and welcoming the Gentiles. That's us, hallelujah. We've been engrafted in with the Jews and all their promises that God gave them. Jesus, our Messiah, has come to give hope to the Jews and Gentiles. And let me just read some verses just packed with hope. when the verses were given in Jeremiah, they were given to exiles of Israel that were in captivity. And the one that really blesses my heart this morning, gives me so much hope as I look at it. But, you know, that verse wouldn't really apply to me as much without Jesus. But with Jesus now, I can claim it was really a message of hope to the hopeless of the exiles in Israel, the exiles that were taken captive and felt so defeated and so hopeless. And we often quote this verse. Sometimes I think we quote it without knowing the deep meaning behind it, because it was really written to the hopeless, the exiles of Israel, the Jewish people, because they felt so hopeless. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, one of peace and joy and hope. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." These are such powerful words and promises of hope to us. But they were first of all given to the exiles. "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you." Such beautiful promises of hope. "I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity." Just the same way with us, if we find ourselves held captive by the hopelessness that we feel sometimes, he wants to turn us from that captivity, and "I will gather you from above all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." Such beautiful words of hope to the exiles, but now not only to the exiles, it's to us. Whenever we're held captive, God wants us to experience his hope, his joy, his peace, and to empower us with his Holy Spirit. If we believe, if we trust, and if our faith is there, then he will do that. And then there's another scripture that I enjoyed so much, a scripture of hope that I'd like to leave with you too. See if I can find it here. I think it's found in Jeremiah 24. Here it is. "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place unto the land of the Chaldeans for their good. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good." God has our good in mind. "For good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down." God does not want to pull us down. He wants to build us, and he wants us to go on full of hope, filled with hope, to pour out for his glory. "And I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart." And that's the things that take place when we allow God, the God of hope, to come in and fill us. But he will only fill us as we believe and as we trust and as we place our faith in him. He will fill us and empower us with his Holy Spirit to give out to others. And we can experience joy and peace in that filling. Praise God. So, it's interesting how he says, in believing. It's as we believe that we begin to experience his peace and joy. And as we experience his peace and joy, the God of, from the God of hope, He will then empower us and fill us with His Holy Spirit. It's interesting that he appeals to the God of hope first, not the God of peace or the God of joy or the God of love, but the God of hope, because it's God who gives hope. And he appeals that the God of hope would work in us so that we would abound in hope. And that word abound is an interesting word. It means overflowing to the brim with hope, to the brim with hope, pushing out all the contrary emotions that we battle with sometimes in our lives, discouragement, despair, depression, fear, anxiety, grumbling, bitterness. The interesting thing is hope does not coexist very well with these things. And when it is abounding and overflowing, that hope, it pushes out these contrary emotions. It pushes them way out. You know, it's interesting. I'm just thinking about that this week. I did not have a good week as far as work is concerned. Every job that I tried to do didn't work or was canceled. And I said, Lord, what am I going to live on? And so sometimes this stuff works on you, and you start feeling down, a little depressed. My wife said, what's wrong? I said, I don't know, I feel a little depressed. And then God gives me this message, and I'm just going, God, why did I even think of that? There's so much hope in you, and maybe next week you'll send so much more that I won't have to worry about this. And I was at rest. I was at peace when God spoke to me and showed me how carnal that those thoughts were and how they were not from him and how it was draining me of that hope that God wanted me to have and pour out to others. So my observation is that Paul really wants to help us in this Advent season. He really does. He wants us to abound in this Advent season in hope, filled to the brim, overflowing. I love 1 Peter 3:15, and I'm going to close with this. 1 Peter 3:15, he tells us that when we are full and abounding in hope, it will come out when asked. We will be ready to pop out an answer when asked about our hope, our joy, and peace. It will overflow, and it is because we are filled with the God of hope and the Holy Spirit. So 1 Peter 3, let me just quote that verse to you. You know, I remember years ago I was working at a hospital, and so full, I had experienced so much with Jesus. I had given my life to him and was baptized. And I was so full, and often when we come off of those experiences, we're fearless and we're not afraid. It's unfortunately, sometimes because we kind of wane in our faith through many circumstances and trials, that's not always there. But I remember very vividly working and nurses looking at me and saying, what's wrong with you? Because I had a smile. And they were all depressed from all the sickness and working with people. And they looked at me like, what is wrong with you? And then I just smile at them and I tell them of the hope that God has given me. And then they would be real quiet and go, First Peter 3, verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, not drawing attention to yourself, remember, but glorifying God. Your life, You are here for the glory of God. You are here to bring him glory. You are here to pour out hope that he would receive glory. You are here to welcome others with big arms and to be hospitable and to pour hope into the lives of others. Loving others to the glory of God, that they too would find themselves savoring God of who he is and glorify him with you. So be ready in this Advent season to give an answer of the hope that is deep within you. And I pray that you will be abounding and that you'd be brimful and there won't be any room for depression, for anxiety. And only God can do that. And he promises to fill us with his Holy Spirit. But it's in believing and it's in trusting and giving and having faith in him. And as we do that, he just keeps adding to our hope and till it just pours out, splashes over on others. So what if people think that you're odd, that you're smiling, and that you're, and then when they ask you, what are you so happy about? Then you have a wonderful privilege of sharing what's in your heart, of the hope that's within you. Lord God, we thank you for this beautiful scripture. Now may the God of hope fill you with his peace and joy in believing and being filled with his Holy Spirit, that we would abound in hope today and the days to come, and we'd not be ashamed of to give an answer of the hope that lies within us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Anybody have anything you'd like to add before we close?
Thanks for the message, Emma. I guess I felt the same way you did yesterday. I don't know why. But this morning I woke up and a little more hope this morning. But
may it abound in you.
I don't know why. I mean, we have a lot to be thankful for. You know, I think the devil likes to throw things at us and say, you know, he puts things in our path and he thinks that he turns them into mountains, you know. But really, they're nothing, really, in God's eyes.
Amen.
And I just want to say that you're all invited for lunch today, everybody that's here.
Thank you, Dave.
Be glad to have you.
Bless you. You're brave. I pray that you will all stay healthy and not get sick. So often we get sick over holidays, and I pray that you won't have to battle that. And I pray that you will abound in his hope regardless, whether sick or well. It's been good to be here for me. So let's just close with that beautiful prayer. And also, let's pray for Dave and Joy as they are serving in Michigan with Phil, preaching to the congregation there in Michigan, that God would fill them with so much with his hope and that it would overflow as they pour out his gospel, his message of hope. All right, let's rise for closing prayer. Father, we thank you for that wonderful hope. Thank you that if we believe, just as you said in John 3:16, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. If we believe and we experience you and trust you, place our faith in you, that you promise to fill us with the Holy Spirit, to empower us, to share and to give an answer of the hope that is within us. Bless each one for being here today, Lord. And may your message of hope be filled in each one. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You're dismissed. Yes. Oh, I did forget that, didn't I? Thank you, ushers. Bless you. I just didn't think about the offering. Yeah, let's take the offering. Sure. And of thy love for Jesus, who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Ruby, you said 220? In which book? Purple one. Now let's sing that. So to us a child of hope is born, to us a son is given. Him shall the tribes of earth obey, him all the hosts of heaven. Him shall the tribes of earth obey, him all the hosts of heaven. His name shall be the Prince of Peace, forevermore adored. The Wonderful, the Counselor, the Great and Mighty Lord. The Wonderful, the Counselor, the Great and Mighty Lord. His power increasing and shall spread, his reign no end shall know. Justice shall guard his throne above, and peace abound below. Justice shall guard his throne above, and peace abound below. Amen. You're dismissed.